As he comes.
Good morning. Would you please turn to Matthew 26?
Are we good to go? Matthew 26. Good morning. Good to see you. You alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic? All right, look at the person next to you. Everyone, look at the person next to you. Ask them if they're awake. And tell them if they don't stay awake, that you're allowed to smack them in the face to wake them up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I told that to my teenagers once. I told our teenagers once that they could smack a person in the face next to them if they started to fall asleep, and the person just leaned and turned to the person and hit him. He started bleeding all over his Bible, and bad thing. Not things you shouldn't say to teenagers, but it's so good to be here. I'm privileged to be here. I love teens. I love this church, and this has just been an awesome conference. I want to thank you for being here. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming back today. Those of you that were only able to make it today, thank you for being here. And I know it's a sacrifice. I know there's other things you could be doing, but you're here in God's house. And I don't believe there's any accidents. I believe you're here for a reason, and I believe God wants to speak to us today. And I'm thankful for you. I'm privileged to have this opportunity. I'm really not a conference preacher. I'm not I feel so really unworthy to even be up here preaching. These are some of my heroes here behind me. Brother Skelly's one of my favorite preachers. My teens love going to hear Brother Skelly preach. We were supposed to have him preach for us in January, but he canceled out on us in the last minute, and we're still a little bit bitter about that. But there was a severe winter storm that hit, and he wasn't able to make it. But we're thankful for Brother Skelly. If you've heard of athletes when they're young, they'll look up to like a great athlete and say, someday I would love to play like that person. Or maybe someday it would be awesome to get to be on the same team as this player. You know, I don't like Tom Brady, but maybe they'll say that. As a Tom Brady, are there any Tom Brady fans in here? No? Who doesn't like Tom Brady? Amen. All right, I'm in good company. All right, preacher's going to throw something at me. But are there any Steelers fans by any chance? Amen. All right. Anyways, you look up to a certain player. I'm going to stay away from these guys over here. I think I'm in trouble. But you look up to a certain player, and they'll say, man, someday I would love to be like this person. I would love to get to play with this person. And as a young preacher, I remember just seeing Brother Skelly thinking it would be so cool someday if God ever gave me the opportunity to preach with him. And I'm just living a dream today. I've really enjoyed getting to know Brother Judah. He has a great testimony I've heard before, man of God. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Pastor Rich. If you don't know Pastor Rich, get to know him. He's a great guy. My kids love Pastor Rich. Every time we get to come out here, they just keep asking, when do we get to see Pastor Rich? When do we get to see Pastor Rich? They still love telling people. They want me to tell everyone the tie joke. If you've ever heard his tie joke, I've done it to my teens so many times, they just don't even roll their eyes anymore. But I love Pastor Rich. He was the youth pastor at the church that I'm at now before me, and so I had some pretty big shoes to fill. Literally, some huge shoes to fill. And he just set a great example and precedent at our youth group, at our church. And Brother Donald is one of my best friends. We have so many great memories together. And bro, I really want to thank you for this opportunity, Brother Donald. I really appreciate it. It's such an honor. I don't feel worthy to be up here. If you're one of those people, maybe this isn't you today, but if you're one of those people that gives excuses, that's me. And I have every excuse why God wouldn't want to use me. I'm not talented. I'm a more backward person. I would love to be in the sound booth or up in the balcony or in the nursery or somewhere this morning. Maybe not the nursery, but, you know, there's some things that I'm not comfortable in front of people. And I told that to God for years. Lord, I'll do anything, but I know you wouldn't want me to preach because I'm not good at it. I'm not good in front of people. My first time preaching in high school, I wrote out my entire sermon. I read it word for word, and I was so nervous. My face was red. My legs were shaking. And I didn't have anything to drink, and so I found some gum, and I started chewing it while I was preaching, and I swallowed it. I almost passed out. It was just a horrible experience. After I got done, I was walking out, and an older man in church came up to me and said, you're going to be a great preacher someday. And I thought, well, he's lost it. He's lost his hearing, his eyesight, because he didn't see what I saw. But I've given so many excuses why God would not want to use me. Every reason. But he continues to show me that it's not about me. It's about him. And teenager, this isn't the thought this morning, but if you would just give your life to God and say, God, I know it's not much. I'm not talented. I don't have the greatest ability. I might not be good in front of people. I mean, look at how God used people in the Bible that had problems, people that had inabilities, people like Moses that wasn't a good speaker. We think of Moses getting in front, let my people go. No, he probably stuttered or it didn't sound like that majestic, but God still used him and did great things with him. And God wants to use you. He just wants you to give your life to him. And I promise you something, if you give your life to God, he will give you the greatest blessing that you could ever imagine. Your life with God is so much greater than the life that you can manufacture yourself, that you can try to architect. If you just give it to say, God, on whatever you want me to do, don't have any limits on what God can do with your life. I remember saying, God, I'll go anywhere except the land of the New England Patriots. Please, Lord, anywhere. I mean, I'll go to Africa, whatever you want me to do. I'll go to the moon. I mean, wherever you want me to serve. But I do not want to be near Patriots fans. And he's called me to New England, and it's been great. We love our time there. God has been so good to us. And I love Pastor Rich. He's great. But this is such an honor for me. Give your life to God, and there's so many great things. If you would please pray for me, I figured I would just give a little quick little rant. I know some people like to talk about little things they like to do, and if you could pray for me, please, about my coffee addiction. It's a really serious problem I have, and I know many people, they like coffee, but I'm, like, really obsessed. Like, really, really obsessed. Like, this morning, I have coffee beans from Ethiopia that were roasted last week, and I had to brew them at a certain temperature. I do them a certain way, a certain amount that's poured, and I work a couple days a week at a local coffee shop as a barista, and it's a struggle for me. But anyway, coffee's great. How many of you drink coffee? Who loves coffee in here? Come on! I love coffee. And you know the great thing about coffee? Everybody likes their coffee different. And I could say, well, here's the right way to do it, here's the wrong way to do it, but everyone has their own preference. Some people, you have like 4 pounds of sugar and like a little ounce of coffee, and hey, you know what, if that's what you like, that's great, you go for it. And I love those kinds of things. But let me just say before we get into God's Word today that it is good to be saved. Amen. It is great being a Christian. And teens, if I could encourage you something, I've seen teens over the years, it's easy to get teens excited. You guys will get excited about anything. I mean, Brother Donald's giving away points. No one's even keeping track of points. I mean, I don't know who's going to win at the end, but hey, 50,000 points. Yeah, all right, 50,000 points. We can get excited. We'll give candy away, and you'll go crazy, do crazy things for candy. And I just want to encourage you, get excited about being a Christian. Get excited about going to church. Get excited about singing these songs. You know, it's unfortunate that we see teens. It doesn't take much to get you guys excited. We'll start talking about cartoons or video games or some commercial you heard, and they'll start singing it really loud and be excited. And then we start singing songs in church, and this glaze comes over your face, and you're nervous to say anything because the person next to you might hear you. And you've actually got a really good singing voice, but you're holding back. And I've seen it. Let's just put that stuff away, and let's just get excited. I've seen you out on the sports field, how excited you get when your team scores, how intense you are. But then we sit in church, and we have a hard time paying attention for 30 minutes. Come on. I mean, I talk to my teens. It seems like on a regular basis, teens do not go to sleep. Or if they do, it's like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. What were you doing? Playing Minecraft, social media, watching, you know, movies. And you can, listen, in all seriousness, there's not anything wrong with some of those things. But if you could stay awake for hours and hours and do that, you can stay awake for 30 minutes in a church service. There's no excuse. Hey, you know, sometimes you will be tired. How many of you are tired this morning? You might be tired, but you know what? You just need to fight and stay awake. It's worth it. You might not feel a certain way, but you need to fight through those things. You might be a little uncomfortable, but the things that you care about, you'll do what's necessary to get it done. I went to a couple weeks ago, my teens were at a race. They were running in local track, and it was like 95 degrees outside. My kids were crying. I forgot diapers, and my youngest had messed his diaper, and it was just a horrible experience. We were standing out watching these kids run. It was hot. We were sweaty. It was like 100% humidity, but we stayed out there watching him because I wanted to support what he was doing. Each of these kids, as they finished running the race, they almost passed out because of the heat, but they did what because they loved it. But we'll make excuses why we don't want to go to church or why we can't sit through a service because we're hot or because we're tired. And I just want to encourage you to put those things aside and let's just focus on God and get our excitement and let's just be excited. I know your preachers would love if you went home and said amen. If you went home and put a smile on your face and got involved and got excited about being a Christian because it's the greatest life. I said it's the greatest life. I think sometimes we can get a really false perspective of what being a Christian is. And God said he came to give us abundant life. It's great being saved. It's awesome. It's great being married. I have a beautiful wife, Rachel. She's the photographer. I have three beautiful boys, Jude, Jonah, and James. I love it. I've talked to so many parents. Oh, I've got the kids. They refer to their marriage, the old ball and chain. And I mean, come on. Being married's great. Having kids is, I love my kids. I love every minute I can spend with them. I'm having the time of my life. And it's great being saved. God has blessing after blessing after blessing in store for you if you'll just surrender your life to him. Matthew chapter 26, I will not be long this morning. Really want to get out of the way so Brother Skelly can get up and preach God's words. Matthew 26, look at me in verse number 14. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Lord, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the great spirit this morning. Lord, thank you for every teenager, every youth worker that's here. God, I believe we're here for a reason, and I believe you want to speak to us. God, I know I'm not worthy to be up here, Lord, but I pray in spite of me that you'll use me this morning, Lord, and that your word will be preached. I pray that you will help us to tune into what you have for us. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just fill this auditorium and you'll speak to every heart, every soul. Lord, bind the devil from this place. Keep us free from distractions. Help those that are tired to fight to stay awake. Help us not to be thinking about other things, but to think about what you have for us. And be with the rest of the preaching today, God, and I pray that today will change lives. Lord, that's why we do this, because we believe that you are real and we believe that you do change lives. And help us to just be locked in today, Lord, to what you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read a passage and it said that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, if you study, was called in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus called the disciples. He called Judas. In John 12, Judas complained about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. And the Bible called him a thief. Jesus knew early on what Judas would do, and he would allude to it, and he dipped the sop and gave it to him and said, what thou doest, do quickly. And to think about what Judas did, to think about all that this man saw. Look up here, teens. Judas was there. He was one of the 12. He wasn't some outsider. He was in the room when no one else was there. He got to watch Jesus and just listen to Jesus, just to be around him. I don't know if when you get around certain men of God or certain preachers, I just like to get around them and just listen to them and just be around them and to kind of just be what it's, see what it's like. And imagine being around Jesus, hearing his words, looking into his eyes, seeing the miracles firsthand in the best view in the house. I mean, sitting right up front, watching the miracles. Judas saw all of this, but then he went in verse 15 and said, what will ye give me that I will deliver them to you? And he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I'd like to real quickly do an illustration, and to do that, I need a couple volunteers. And I just need a couple people. I'm going to have you eat something. So if you have a weak stomach, it's probably not a good idea, but it's I don't even know how to describe what they're eating. It's healthy and protein. And I just need a couple volunteers just to help me with something, for an example. So if I could have Brother Donald, if you want to help me get ready. You right there in the yellow, and all right, you, sir?
I don't know if he's going to do it.
No? All right, and come on up. And one more with the glasses. Come on up. All right, I'm going to have you four help me with something. I'm going to have you all eat something. And they're right over there, right next to you. And I'm going to give you a special prize for the person that can finish it. And you all have strong stomachs? All right, what's your name? We have Clinton right here. Let's hear it for Clinton. We have, come on up here, buddy. Why don't you stand over here? What's your name?
Caleb.
What is it?
Caleb.
Caleb?
Yes, sir.
We have Caleb right here. Let's hear it for Caleb. What's your name?
Lillian.
We have Lillian. Who thinks Lillian's going to win? All right. And what's your name?
Gabby.
And we have Gabby. And so I'm going to give you each something. And for the person that finishes eating this first, or that can eat it, I was thinking about giving you candy, but I don't think that's enough, so all I have on me, I have $20, and I will give a $20 bill to the person that can eat this, all right? So Brother Donald is going to hand you this. And I am giving each of you a live cricket. And all you have to do is eat the cricket. All you have to do is eat the cricket and you get $20. It's a pretty good deal, right, Preach?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to reach in and grab your own.
Grab them. You got to grab them.
I got to grab them?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Don't let them jump around the auditorium. But the first person. Yeah, you got. Not yet. No, you got to hold on to it. Don't let it jump away.
It's going to die anyway. You can squeeze it. I really want $20.
I would do anything.
Yeah, $20.
My wife was looking at these this morning, and she said, they're cute. I said, well, his life is going to end soon, so. Come on, bro. You got it?
Debbie, I'm really scared. Oh, God.
There is a point to this, trust me.
Where?
Just right in the belly.
There you go.
Hurry up. Oh, gosh, I hate it.
Let's do it.
You got this. You got this.
Hold it.
You got this. All right. There we go. All right. Don't let it go. Don't let it go.
I tried.
Kill it. All right. Give it to him. All right. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. All right, I want you to cheer for them, and I need help. The person that finishes and is completely gone, they're going to get $20. It's a runner-up. We'll get some candy, but it's got to be the first person. So you got to open your mouth and show us that you finish it, all right?
Stop it.
All right, here we go. All right, close that up. Help me watch, bro. You watch them, I'll watch. Here we go. On your mark. Get set. Go. There it is, a live cricket, live cricket. The winner right here, Gabby won. That was so easy. Good job, congratulations. Gotta shake your hand. Here you go, $20 for $20. She did it, she did it. That was, I don't even know where it went. All right.
Kill it.
Here's another one. All right, here we go. Here, take this. All right, we're in the Bible. I know I completely lost you, but I heard a commercial a couple years ago, and I want to give you just a quick thought, and I'll get out of the way. I like illustrations, and I like watching things, and I know some of you probably won't forget seeing someone eat a cricket. How many of you would never, ever do that? I don't care what offer. Amen to that. Now, those of you that came up here, you weren't really too interested in eating a cricket until I held out $20. But it didn't take much for me to say, for $20, I would do it. And I heard a commercial once, it was for some, I think it was a reality show, I honestly don't know what it is, I'm not promoting it, but they said something. They said their point in this show was to get people to turn against their loved ones. And they said that for the right price, you could get anyone to do anything. And I heard that, and I got a little angry and turned off the radio, and I thought, that's not true. I mean, for the right price, you would do anything? You would turn on your family? And they said, well, if you pay a person enough money, they'll do anything. If you give them the big enough prize, they'll do anything. And I was thinking about that, and those people that just ate those crickets, you wouldn't have done it, but there was a $20 prize ahead of you. And Judas was given something. Judas was given 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was really not that much money. It was like a couple thousand dollars probably compared to now. And he was willing to betray Jesus, his Lord and Savior, to give him up for a couple thousand dollars? And so I was convicted about that when I heard that, and I just thought of this simple message. What's your price? Hey, what's your price? What will it take to get you out of church? Come on. What will it take to get you out of God's will? What will it take to get you from reading your Bible? What will it take to get you from going to Bible college or whatever decision you believe God wants you to make? What will it take you to lose your purity? Amen. What will it take you to give in to peer pressure? What's your price? Because they said everybody has a price. And every person's price is different. And I thought, well, that can't be the case. Because for me, there can't be a price. Then the Lord began to speak to me. And he speaks to each of us of our weaknesses and the areas that you struggle. And I want to show you something. Look with me in Job chapter 1 real quick, please. Job chapter 1. Verse Verse number one, I'm going to read as soon as we get there. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And look at verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil? This story always blows my mind, that Satan goes before God. And it makes me wonder if he still does the same thing today. And if God speaks to Satan about us, would God have brought up your name? Have you thought of my servant so-and-so? Hey, look at how they're saying no to temptation. Look at how they're faithful to church. Look at the decisions they've made for me. But look what Satan says in verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. Verse number 11, but pour forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan thinks he knows your price. He thinks he's got you figured out. Hey, I've seen that young lady. I've seen that young man. All you have to do is tempt him with this. All you have to do is tempt her with that, and they'll get away from God. They'll curse you. They'll turn their back on God. He thinks he's got you figured out. So what's the thought this morning? Prove him wrong. You prove Satan wrong. Job proved him wrong. Job proved that he could lose everything he had, everything that he cared about, everything that he'd spent his life accruing, he lost, but he still didn't turn on God. He didn't turn his back. He stayed faithful. There was no price. He didn't sell out. Let me have you turn to one last place this morning. You guys are doing great. 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings chapter 21. I think of many Bible characters that sold out. I think how Samson sold the power of God that he had for peer pressure. Peter also sold out for peer pressure when he was asked if he was one of the followers of Jesus. I think about David. He sold his purity for pleasures. Lot also sold that for pleasures. I think of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to be saved, and his possessions kept him. I think about Demas that the Bible says left for the things of the world. I think about how Esau sold the potential for his life for the present. And I think about those things, the people that sold out. And God brings people to my mind, teenagers just like you that have come to youth conferences. Look up here, please. Teens that came to youth conferences, that dressed nice, that was modest. Teens that had a good spirit. But a certain price came in their life. A certain temptation, hey, look up here, certain temptation came in their life, and they sold out. They sold everything that they had. Hey, God, I know you got a great person planned for me to marry someday, and I can live in your will, and I can have great family, but I'm going to sell out for some pleasure right now with someone else. I think of a young lady that sold her purity. I remember having to talk to her parents, how it broke our heart. Think about a young man that sold out for drugs. And he just left and turned away, got himself in some serious trouble. What is the price that it would take for you? I got a phone call to visit a teenager in a hospital, a teen that used to attend our church. He moved away, but then he was brought back to a hospital near us. He tells this story, and I don't know if the whole thing is entirely true, but he came to the hospital almost dead. He said that after school, he went to a party, and at the party, they were doing a lot of drugs, and that someone held a gun to his head and said, smoke this marijuana. He smoked the marijuana, and what he didn't realize is it was laced with something else. They don't know what it was laced with, but all he could do was run, and he ran as far as he could, and he passed out on the side of the street until they found him, brought him to the hospital. He almost died. It took them a couple days to get his heart stable. His price was that someone held a gun to his head, and he gave in.
There's a price. What you have is so important. What God has given you. But what would it take for you to give it up? What would it take for you to turn it over?
Let me read you just a passage here from 1 Kings 21. The Bible says in 1 Kings 21, verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me that vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into the house heavy and displeased because of the word which both Naboth the Jezreelite had given to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon him his bed, turned away his first, and would eat no bread." Ahab was a big baby, and we could read the rest of this story, but it's a simple thought. Ahab looked outside and saw a vineyard, and he said, I want that vineyard. He found the man that owned the vineyard, his name was Naboth, and he called him in and said, I will give you a better vineyard than this, but I want this one. But Naboth just said in verse 3, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers. Naboth said, I'm not for sale. I'm not selling out. My fathers gave this to me. It means more to me. I don't care what you're offering me. I don't care if you think it might be better. It won't matter more to me because this is something that means so much more. I know that I should not sell out, and I'm not doing it. And Naboth ended up giving his life for it. You read the rest of the story. He stood for what he believed in. But we see, first of all, that Naboth, he had a property. He had something that Ahab wanted. And teens, look up here. You have something that Satan wants. He wants your life. He's walking through this earth trying to seek who he may devour. He has a plan for your life. Just like God has a plan for your life, Satan has a plan for your life. And just like God has great things in store for you, Satan has horrible things in store for you. And you need to realize that you have something of value, that your life counts. Your life matters. Don't you dare think that your life is not worth it. Don't you think that you have no value or importance in life. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. My soul knoweth that right well. Hey, you are special. You are unique to God. You matter. Your life is important. You have something that has value.
That's right.
Don't sell it out. Amen. He had a property. But also there was a proposition. A proposition from Ahab. Sell me this and I'll give you this. And teenagers, you have a proposition. I think daily, maybe it's several times a day, there are things that are approached to you that you can do, and it gives you the option. Hey, keep living for God or go this way. And we think that we can live both worlds, but the Bible says you can't. You cannot serve God and mammon. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and the end of sin is death. But you are given propositions on a regular basis to sell out. And I don't know what it is in your life, but maybe it's some kind of immorality or pornography, or maybe it's something in kind of impure relationship. Maybe it's peer pressure. Friends are trying to make you do something. Maybe it's to be just overwhelmed with bitterness. I don't know what it is, but I've seen so many teenagers over the years sell out, Brother Donald. My heart's encouraged when we see fruit, when we see people live for God. But the statistics tell us that's not the majority. I don't like statistics. I want to go against that. But if statistics are right, many of you, I think some people even say 75% of teens that faithfully attend church don't stay with it. 75%. I don't know how true or accurate it is, but think about that. If we were just to take a couple rows and say, that's it. Everyone else sold out. Satan brought something to their life, some temptation that they thought was too great for them, something that they were just had such a great desire for, and they didn't count the cost and didn't think what it would do for them, and they sold out and got away from God. There's a proposition given to you to choose. You need to choose. And last, he had a persistence. He had a persistence. He just said no. You might say, well, I've said no before, and I've stood up for what I believe in, but it's so hard to do, and you just need to stick with it. Keep saying no. What you have is more valuable. I mean, 30 pieces of silver is all it took for Judas. A couple thousand. I mean, think about that. To betray Jesus with a kiss, a sign of love. And what did he do afterwards? We could have read Matthew 27, what it ended up doing to Judas. He tried to return it. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't want to take it back because it was money for blood.
He ended up buying a piece of property with it. Judas went and killed himself. That's the end of selling out. It's death. The Bible says the end of sin is death. And we don't like that verse. We like, well, it means it's death. If Satan had his course in your life, he would kill you. And he wants to destroy everything you have. But I want to give you one last verse this morning, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Hey, you know what? For 31 years of my life, I've been buying the truth. I've been buying the truth. I was born and raised in a Christian family. Praise God for that. I don't feel like I have a very strong testimony. I hear these people that were saved out of horrible backgrounds. And my parents were both saved Christians. I was basically born inside church. I mean, people say that I had a drug problem growing up because my parents drugged me to Sunday school, and they drugged me to Sunday morning, drugged me Sunday night, they drugged me Wednesday night. I was in church. I went to 13 years of Christian school. All of those things in my life, I've been buying it. But the Bible says here, buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. Hey, don't sell out, teenagers. I don't know what the temptation is in your life, but every single one of you will have something that's tempting you. Every single one of you have something dangling in front of you. Hey, just reach out for it. Just take it. It's going to be so good. It'll feel great. But the Bible says that stolen waters are sweet, and you might think that it feels good, and you might think that that's what your life needs, but it's going to ruin your life, and it's going to ruin your future. Everything that you've invested in, everything that your parents have invested in you, everything that your church and your youth pastor have invested in you, it'll all be wasted.
That's right.
30 pieces of silver. Don't sell out. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I think we need it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.